the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. So hymn number 76, please. The words are on the screens, and we're going to ask you to stand as we sing together. Just seek the Lord's face together in prayer, please. Father, we do wait in your presence, glad that we can lift our hearts to thee in prayer, asking at the beginning of the meeting that you'll pour out your Spirit mightily upon us. We ask thee to pour out the Spirit of prayer upon us just at this time. We're come in prayer, Father, to commit this meeting into your hands. We acknowledge at the beginning that we need the help of God. We need the power of the Lord to be upon us. We need thee, Father, especially to come and be our guide. We thank you that you've assured us that you'll instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go and guide us with thine eye. And Lord, our prayer is that you'll guide us through the meeting tonight, guide in every part of this service. We want to pray for our brother George especially, as he will take part just a little later. We pray that you'll stand with our brother. We remember those words that were mentioned in the message this morning concerning the Apostle Paul, when he could testify that the Lord stood with him and strengthened him, so that by him the preaching might be fully known. And our prayer, Father, is you'll stand with your servant tonight. May he know that you're at his side. We pray that you'll help him as he speaks. We pray, Father, that you'll come and give him liberty tonight, make it easy for our brother to speak to us. We pray, Father, that you'll give him the grace, the strength needed, even to relay the details to us tonight and to tell of all that the Lord has done for him, especially in this past year. Remember the messages in song as well. We pray for guidance to be given. We pray for the anointing of the Lord to be upon that ministry. Lord, we're asking thee to speak to us in the service tonight. We have come to this meeting. We have come to your house, Lord, because we want to hear thy voice. We want to be taught of God. We thank you for blessing us with the scriptures. We remember, Father, how greatly you have blessed us, even as we consider this past year. And we think, Father, of how you've daily loaded us with benefits. Every good and perfect gift has come down to us from above. Lord, we want to confess and acknowledge freely tonight. We know of a truth that there's not a thing that we have that you have not given to us. You give us life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. And Lord, we praise thee for how bountifully you have blessed us. We're conscious of so many across the earth tonight in great need. And Lord, we want to thank you most of all for spiritual blessings. You've blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this book in which you've revealed yourself and revealed to us the way of salvation. We thank you, Father, that we live in a land that has been blessed with the gospel, with the preaching of the good news of one that loved us and gave himself for us. Even in the words of that Christmas carol, we remember that he came down to earth from heaven, who was God and Lord of all. We remember, Father, that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you for all in this service tonight who can say that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Lord, it's our prayers this year would draw to an end, that everyone in the meeting tonight would have that testimony, that each one would be able to say, going through the doors of this meeting, that it's well with their soul. Thank you for this congregation. We praise thee, Father, for the faithfulness of your people in supporting this witness right through this year. We thank, Father, for the very difficult, unusual days in which we're found. Your word tells us of dark days as the end of this age draws nigh. But we thank you, Father, for the more sure word of prophecy you've given to us as a light that shineth in a dark place. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll bless this church, bless its witness. Our prayer is you'll lead us on. We want to ask, Father, for greater blessing to be upon the ministry here. Thank you for each one that labors. We think of all the different outreaches of this congregation and all that have been faithful in laboring for Christ during this past year. And our prayer, Father, is that you'll encourage greatly the hearts of your people and of your servants. And Lord, our cry to thee tonight is that you'll answer our prayers. We remember the great promise, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Lord, we can say, even with the apostle, in that portion we considered this morning, I believe God, we believe his promise. And Lord, we ask thee to hear our cries and come down in blessing. Come down, Father, in great power. And Lord, we ask thee to remember our own land, even at this time, at the end of a year, and the crisis that is still abroad across the land and across the earth. And Lord, we're asking that you might intervene, that you might hear our cries. We pray, Father, that it might please thee even very soon to bring this great crisis to a close. But we're conscious of the hardness, the stubbornness of men's hearts, as it was in the days of Amos. You sent the famine and you sent the pestilence. You sent so many things, and yet you had to lament, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." And Lord, our cry is that you would come down in this land by your power. And we pray that you'll turn the hearts of many to yourself in salvation. So we ask you to hear our prayers. We commit the meeting to thee now. And we pray, Father, you'll bless this service from beginning to end. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a few verses together, please, in the scriptures. We're reading together in the book of Hosea. The first of the minor prophets, so-called. The book of Hosea, chapter 10. We're going to begin to read at verse 9. And we're going to read just a short section down to the close, down to the end of the chapter. So the book of Hosea, the 10th chapter, the 9th verse. And let us hear the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plough, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Ending just there, the close of the chapter. And we're assured that the Lord will add his blessing tonight to the public reading of his word. We're very thankful to our brother George Hewitt, for undertaking to take part in the meeting tonight. We appreciate that very much. We're hopeful that it didn't spoil his Christmas too much, give him bad indigestion yesterday over his Christmas dinner. But we're very thankful. It's been a very difficult year for our brother and for the family, with the long period of ill health that he's come through. We're delighted as a congregation that the Lord has answered prayer, and the Lord's hand has been upon our brother in such a definite way, and he's almost returned to full health and strength again. So he's going to come and tell us just a little bit about that, and then after he's spoken, he's going to bring a couple of messages in song to us.
It's amazing how warmer it gets up here than it is down there. But before I start, you know, a couple of years ago, I gave my testimony here. And, you know, there was one thing I did say, you know, it was, but for the grace of God, there go I. And that reference then was purely to the life that I had lived, where the Lord had brought me through a good home and through upbringing that kept me away from the real bad things that this world can and has indeed offered to a lot of young people. But now, them words have slightly changed, you know, because but for the grace of God, I survived, you know, and that has hit hard in a way that probably words can never ever put. But I'll try my best, and I'm not sure what way it'll turn out and what way I'll get through it, but hopefully by the grace of God, we will come out the other end okay. But people say what a difference a day makes. And you know, it's very true. But also, what a difference a year can make also. As time waits for no man, and as we journey along the paths and the valleys that are set out before us, we can sometimes fall into the complacency trap, and that any valleys we find ourselves in, we feel we can navigate ourselves without the help of God. As you, and for those who maybe didn't hear my testimony that I gave back in January 29, I had highlighted some of the valleys during my life that God graciously carried me through. And one of those points I spoke on then as well was as a young boy of 13, after a bicycle accident, I was to lose my spleen. And if I hadn't have found medical help, I would have slept into eternity that night. That instance was to have a large part in what I have to say tonight. I do want to highlight, however, at the outset of the meeting tonight, that I stand here humbled and thankful to God, and have to say that the aim tonight is to thank God for the miraculous intervention by him in my illness and recovery during the past almost 12 months. So I want to stand here tonight with probably the biggest smile and to praise and rejoice with you all how God's love and his intervention was so evident with me this year. As I can say, when the precious gift of breath is slowly deflated from the body, one can appreciate how valuable the gift of having the Saviour at your side is. So yes, I'm here tonight to praise God, not to look and say how sad this story is, but to just simply glorify him with words and song. But to do so, unfortunately, I feel I need to roll back the clock till January, just to paint a brief picture of some of what took place during my illness, because it is relevant for the intervention that God done at that particular point. You see, it just wasn't the recovery and to the precious level physically and mentally that I find myself standing here today, of which I will be ever grateful. No, it was simply, why? Why God gave such a visible and clear understanding to me when I, just a normal and many times a weak Christian, failing God in many ways, that was to me so overwhelming. But I've also been given the opportunity to stand here and to prove how real a sovereign God we have, no matter how many times we fail and fall short. He will always be at our side to walk in front of us, beside us, and to carry us, and in this case, heal us. It was back approximately in the second week of January 2021 that I developed a cough, but this was just a cough that I had generally most winters, and therefore no big fuss was made. But due to a work colleague testing positive for COVID-19, we all were required to carry out COVID tests as per guidelines at that time. The next day, the results came back for me as positive, and therefore was to isolate and separate from the family living in the house. As time had passed, things started to progressively get worse, and not to spend too much time on the detail, but it soon became clear that breathing was becoming more difficult. And this was soon to become to a point that the pain was unbearable, and comfort was indeed impossible to achieve. I must honestly say at this point, say that the human side of me was with the thought that a few days it will pass and we'll be back on track again. That was just George. That was him. Fight on, battle through it. Don't think too much about it, and we'll get out the other end. This was indeed, and I'm convinced, was just the devil. He was just trying to direct me away from God that I should have been praying to and asking for help at that particular point. And yes, at this point in time, I was to keep trying to humanly fight for breath. And across this valley on my own, which to my regret and sadness I have tried sometimes too many times in the past, and sometimes crossed feeling and coming out that I was strong. But you see, God's plan was already in progress. And the next few days was to change my life forever in respect to my witness as a born-again Christian, and to praise him in whatever way God's will and direction I am guided by. It was, I think, the Tuesday morning, so please forgive me if I'm not 100% correct with dates and times, as there's a lot of the events one can appreciate are still blurry, and as I struggle with some short-term memory. So don't be laughing, there's a lot of people here. There's no memory in the first place, so it can't be any shorter than what it was. But it was around 7 a.m. in the morning when Stephanie, my wonderful wife, came to my bedside with porridge to spoon-feed me and make me as comfortable as she possibly could and had done for approximately 7-8 days prior to that. At this point, she would take blood pressure and, most important, oxygen levels. All at this point were showing reasonable stats. But you see, soon after, at around 9 a.m., things I knew were indeed taking a change for the worse. And as Stephanie came into the room to find me struggling to catch the smallest of breaths, and to a point the volume of breath would only last approximately 5 to 10 seconds before the painful exercise of inhaling and exhaling had to take place again, each time getting harder and more painful and lasting shorter. At this point, as she held my hand, the only words I could say, "I'm sorry, but I can't do this any longer." At that point, I laid my head on the pillow with the only thought in mind that it's a possibility I might pass out here. As the little oxygen I was trying to inhale was indeed to be confirmed when Stephanie took fresh readings, meant I would really struggle from that point on. But typical Stephanie style does things quietly, without fuss, without panic. She quietly removed herself from the bedroom to downstairs to phone for an ambulance and the doctors. The next thing I can fully remember was two ambulance men at my side, administering oxygen and other forms of care. You see, this was the first part of God's plan. In that plan, there's three parts to this story, if you want to call it a story tonight. I have no doubt with this assessment, as I found out later, there was no delay, no dispute, and an ambulance was dispatched at my house very, very quickly. From what I can gather, minutes. Things in AA moved very quickly, and soon after being admitted, the tide turned again to that of my circumstances worsening and being removed from the cubicle, and I'm not sure where that was or where I ended up. But as temperature and other vital stats were getting out of control, and as a result could involve the risk of other organ failure, was a major concern at that point to the doctors. However, it was around 10 p.m. that night, I think, that I recall the bed being moved and being wheeled to what I was told was going for a CT scan of my lungs. But something occurred at that time when a wonderful nurse, which they did on many occasions, would rub your arm to talk to you before they spoke, rubbed my arm and asked me to turn around and look at a window. only to see my wonderful niece, who was a nurse on a non-COVID ward at that particular time, but was only allowed to wave through the window due to the ward that I was on at that stage being a red zone ward, before I went to the scanner. But that instance was to make me realise that the reality, as far as family, friends, etc., I was on my own. And yes, God was to be very present from this point on, and he was to reveal himself fully soon afterwards. Sometime later, I would return to the COVID ward and was soon visited by the doctors, of which the next few minutes was to be that of unbelief, nervousness, and any other emotion you can think of. But for the true grace of God, he didn't make me suffer that for too long of such distress. The doctor then proceeded to ask how I would like to be told the information. This, one can imagine, was a rush of thoughts, emotions, but I immediately said, and it's just George's nature once again, tell me the truth and what the outcome, as they would see it, might be. At this point, the doctors sat by my bedside and started to discuss the CT scans, etc., and they had revealed that, they clarified that the lungs were at this point in a very bad state, with double pneumonia and multiple clots in both lungs. Now, if I refer back to my testimony where I said I'd lost the spleen, at the age of 13, I can remember doctors saying to me, the one thing you must avoid in life is pneumonia. So therefore, you knew that things wasn't good. However, the main concerns we have is not the pneumonia, and it's not even COVID, but the fact and reality you don't have a spleen, and that gives us a whole lot more issues for us to contend with. At this point, I suppose things didn't make much sense until the doctors talked on and then highlighted that they had administered antibiotics on my arrival, which didn't seem to have much effect to stem the infection, and that they were about to administrate a new antibody that had been developed only recently as a result of COVID-19. And if I had taken COVID-19 six or eight months earlier, they had not got such antibiotics. Again, another part of God's grace at this time. Unfortunately, the doctor quickly informed me that they had no idea how my body would react or take to the administration of these drugs. And the only procedure, the next procedure to take place, was that they would connect the CPAP machine, administrate the drugs, and that hopefully the mask and the antibodies would work. But the next 12 hours was totally over to me. And I quote the words, "I trust I see you in the morning." But at that point, nothing else could be given other than care on a constant monitoring through the night by an amazing group of nurses who tirelessly comforted me as I adapted to the surroundings and difficulties that came that night. But this was God's grace, and this was where God's grace was revealed. You see, with the mask, panic and distress is often explained by many people who have had to endure it, and it was placed in my head and face, and I fully remember how my body was indeed completely removed from many anxious thoughts, fear, panic, as God came extremely close to me and the reality was put clearly in front of me as I put my head on the pillow, that no matter what the events would be about to take place, it was that of a win-win situation for me. You say, what do you mean? As the possibility was I could pass into eternity at any moment. But that was it. God had been in control of the situation from start to finish, and even at a time when the doctors had carried out everything possible at that time, God in his mercy was by my side and reassuring me, and I knew that whatever that night brought, I was either going to be in God's wonderful eternity, or I was going to be returned to my wonderful wife and family. So yes, it was a win-win for me, but maybe not for the people at home. Now please don't get me wrong, it wasn't a selfish act saying this, but I wanted to express how close a real God was to me that night, and certainly something I cannot or will ever forget. The next morning came, and as I opened my eyes from the night of being turned, bloods taken, oxygen levels checked, and various other things carried out every 1 or 2 hours, I immediately felt it so much easier to even just to breathe the next morning. And although the journey was going to be long, and I just thanked God that the simple task of breathing was somewhat easier. But at this point, I have to ask what your position would have been in the same situation arose for you. Will you be waiting to accept God on your deathbed? Because, my friend, that might never happen. As many times, people are cast into eternity without warning or sickness. And just because my experience was one where, yes, events took place over a period of time, and I believe God done it in this way to show me his will in a stage-by-stage event and for me to understand only his will is the right way, even though many times I have stubbornly done what I thought was right without asking God's direction and showing me his will through his word and not that of man's. Approximately a week later, I was released from the COVID ward and spent a day in assessment ward before being returned home for the recovery period, which I can say was a step-by-step process, but this time I was to make sure God was holding the reins and I was to follow his footsteps to recover, you see, today. It's only a few weeks ago that I got a lung scan done and I passed that. Full oxygen levels, lungs of not a 57-year-old, I was told. So God has answered prayer. So you see, the events at that time were purely set out by God. And just to simply summarize it, number one, God let me fight the illness firstly on my own. That proved that I was weak in both spirit and body. Number two, he then gave all the help and direction to doctors and nurses, but at that point, they couldn't be sure of a recovery or what might unfold during the night. Again, God's grace and keeping. Number three, God intervened and took over so that I could accept what he would prove to me, that the outcome was totally in God's hands and that he would restore me to a level where I would be able to give him all the praise and glory, and also was willing to have my health restored to what you see today. I would like to say, before I finish, a big thanks and appreciation to all those families and friends whom I know prayed tirelessly for my recovery, of which such prayers were answered in an amazing way, and may God take all the glory. But especially to Stephanie, who was at my side before hospitalisation and constantly afterwards, and I thank God for covering her with his grace to bear the afflictions cast upon her at some of the toughest times. I'm now going to attempt to sing two great hymns and trust these pair of lungs are able to carry it through. But please bear with me, and I trust God will give me the strength to glorify his name in song. But as he has said before, you know, we're to sing joyfully unto him. It doesn't say about in tune. So hopefully we'll get through it. And I thank you all for listening, and I trust these words will give comfort to those who are going through a valley of sickness. And to reassure you, God's will is the best, and he will guide and keep you if we trust his will. Okay, I guess you can do it from the book. It's all right. I heard
Jesus, say, come on to me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I look to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done.
Just before I sing this last piece, this piece came to me at approximately 4 o'clock in the morning, just before I was meant to come and do a rehearsal with Laura. On the back of my Bible, I keep references of verses in Scripture that I like to read, and also hymns I like to sing. Now, they're all over the place, the back of the Bible, just as I write them down. This particular one wasn't in it. And I had been searching for a hymn. I had been down through, I think there's about 27 hymns at the back of the Bible. But I couldn't get something that was to show me the reference where I'd been through this year. I woke up, and the words that was in my head, I come to the garden. I couldn't think, was that a hymn? Till I got up, I got the hymn book, and I looked. And lucky enough, at the back of the book, lucky not the right word, I suppose, but at the back of the book, it does say the hymns with the first line. And this first line is, I come to the garden alone. So I trust it finishes off tonight just exactly what we want to do, and that is that, yes, you can come to the garden alone, but you'll always have the Saviour with you in the garden. Okay. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks
with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Thank
you. We do want to thank George very sincerely for both speaking and singing to us tonight. We've been deeply challenged by all that he has said to us. We've been greatly blessed as well. I was thinking just of those words that Paul recorded of Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2. He said of Epaphroditus, "For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him." And I think that sums up all that George passed through earlier this year. And as a congregation, we're deeply thankful to the Lord for having mercy on our brother and hearing prayer and putting his hand on him and raising him up again to such a good measure of health and strength. Nice to hear him sing again this evening. We're very glad to hear that he's got another 26 or 7 pieces in his repertoire that we can call on him again. We'll look forward to hearing all of those pieces in coming times. We do want to bid you all warmly welcome along to the service tonight. A sincere word of thanks to everyone that has been able to gather with us this evening. I know it's a holiday time. There's a lot of visiting, entertaining that is taking place. So we want you to know that we're deeply thankful to everyone that has been able to come along to the service tonight. With some visitors, we want to welcome all that are visiting. We appreciate your presence and glad you're able to join us to hear our brother testify and sing this evening. We're very glad to see our senior elder, Mr. Norman Kerr, in the service tonight. We want to give Norman a special word of welcome. We appreciate his grandson Adam bringing him along to the service, and we're delighted to see Mrs. Mary Gillespie out at the service tonight. We're glad that our sister's been able to come along with joy this evening. So we're thankful to all that have come along to the service tonight. We thank you again for your faithfulness, your support of the work here right through the past year. We want you to know how much that means to us. And our prayer is that God will bless and encourage you for all of your labours. Remember the special missionary offering that we're taking at both services this Lord's Day for the new Christian school that's going to be commenced in Liberia, in the will of the Lord, under the ministry of our missionary there, Miss Joanne Greer, and also the Reverend Dave DeCanio. So remember that special missionary offering. If you're putting an envelope on the plate for that today, please mark it clearly for the special missionary offering, the school in Liberia. Keep in mind there's no midweek service in this incoming week because of the holiday time, the holiday period. The service is next Lord's Day, the 2nd of January. The Sunday school and Bible classes are still off. They're off until the following week, start back again on the Lord's Day, the 9th. The morning service here at 11:30, we'll be preaching on the new motto text for 2022, and motto text cards will be available. The evening service at 6:30, remember it's preceded by the half hour of prayer. Come and join with us in the prayer meeting downstairs. Our brother, Mr. Billy McCrum, who's our outreach team leader, Billy will be giving us an update on the outreach that has been carried out and what is planned in the will of God for the incoming year. And I hope to be the preacher at both of those services myself. Remember the children's calendars. We'd like every child in the congregation to have one. And there's a few extra if you would like to take some to give out to other members of your family as well. Keep in mind the end of year update that the Mission Board Office produced on the outreach that's been done out in Uganda. There's a few copies of that in the porch as well. Keep in mind our Bethany congregation on Friday evening, their watch night service at 10:45. They would appreciate your presence and support if you're able to go along. And they're going to commence that watch night service with a half hour of prayer, and then that will lead into the program for the evening. We're going to sing together just a couple of verses, please, of that lovely Christmas carol, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. The first and the last verses of the hymn, 75, and we're going to stand together as we sing, please. Just a brief word of prayer together, please. Father, we thank you for the blessing we've known tonight already. We thank you for helping and strengthening our brother as he spoke and as sang to us. We praise thee, Father, for using our brother tonight, even to speak to our hearts, to challenge us. We thank you for the instrument that has been the channel of blessing in your hand. And we pray that you'll continue your strengthening and healing touch of your servant in days that are to come. Abide with us, Father, for a few moments just around the word. We pray you'll come and still and settle our hearts. And we pray, Father, for the few minutes of this meeting that remain, that we'll be very conscious of things that are eternal. We want to pray, Father, that you'll come by your Spirit and speak powerfully to all our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, just for a few moments at the close of our service. A little challenge appropriate for a Sabbath evening such as this, at the close of an old year. Hosea 10 and 12, especially the words that we took as our motto text, for it is time to seek the Lord. Let me remind you or emphasize that these words, Hosea 10 and 12, have been our motto text for the year 2021. We preached on them on the first Sabbath morning service of this year as a challenge to believers. And let me emphasize, brethren and sisters, that that is still the need of the hour as the year draws to a close, the necessity that's laid upon us to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon us. May the Lord continue to give us that burden for prayer. I want us to think of the words again tonight on the last Lord's Day service of this old year. And I want them to bring them to you tonight as a challenge in the gospel. If you consider for a moment the question, what time is it? That's a question that's often asked. I think it would be true to say there could be days that nearly every day you live, you ask that question in one form or another. What time is it? It's a vital question, brethren and sisters. And in this meeting, at the end of another year, I want you to think of that question with me just for a few moments. It's a very important question, a very relevant question. And the reality is, it's a question that can apply to various areas of our lives. Normally, when you ask the question, what time is it, you're thinking of what hour of the day it might be. But there's other areas of life that this question can apply to, and I want just to mention those, impress them upon your heart as a challenge at the close of the service tonight. Think, for example, of a day. What time of the day is it? Can I ask you to realize, men and women, God has given you another day upon this earth. Just take a moment to consider the great blessing that is. He's the one that gives you life and breath and all things freely to enjoy. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, not to take that fact for granted. Sometimes we live so many days, we live so long, we take the days that God gives to us for granted. We ought not to do that. So God has given you another day. And what that means, men and women, is that God has given you another opportunity. Another opportunity especially to be saved, as we're thinking of that in the gospel service tonight. Remember, as you think of this day, it is almost over. That means that another opportunity for you to get right with God is almost gone. Very soon it will be gone from your grasp. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, how are you using this day that God has given to you? Are you using it to get right with God, to be sure that it's well with your soul? Can I assure you tonight that that's what God intends? You think of the words in the book of Hebrews, today, if you will, hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So what does God want you to do today? He doesn't want you to harden your heart. He wants you to hear his voice, and he wants you to come to him in salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This day, men and women, is an opportunity for you to experience God's salvation. There's an old saying, today is salvation's day, tomorrow is damnation's day. There's no guarantee you'll have tomorrow. If you don't get saved today, tomorrow you could be in a lost eternity. So men and women, today is the time. Today. That's the great urgency placed upon it in the Word of God. Today is the time for you to seek the Lord, to seek him for salvation, to seek him for pardon, and to seek him for mercy. So what time of the day is it? Think of the year. What time of the year is it? Well, there's a number of answers we could give to that question. For one thing, it's Christmas time. that we've all been enjoying so much. This is the time of the year when we think of the Lord Jesus, especially of his birth. Why did the Lord Jesus come? Why was he born at Bethlehem? Well, the answer, men and women, is this. It's so that you could be born again. Remember, he came by means of a supernatural birth, and he wants to give you a supernatural birth. He wants you to be born again of the Spirit. He wants you to be saved. If you think of the manger in the stable at Bethlehem. Well, as you think of the manger, remember that the one who was laid in the wood of the manger would one day be nailed to the wood of the cross. The Lord Jesus, men and women, he came into this world to die. He came to die for sinners. That means he came to die for you, because the reality the Bible teaches is that we're all sinners. He came to save you from your sins, save you from the penalty of your sins. Think of what Paul said to young Timothy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And he wants to save you in this gospel service tonight. Can I ask you, each one, as the year 2021 draws to a close, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior? We rejoice. Our brother gave us testimony. Remember, even those couple of years ago told us how he came to Christ, a testimony of God's saving grace. Do you have such a testimony tonight? Can you say that Jesus Christ is your Savior? So as we think of what time of the year it is, it's Christmas time. But remember too, as you think of what time of the year is, it's the end of the year. It's not remarkable. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Think of the shuttle flying back and forth across the loom. My days, he says, are like that, just as swift. How true, men and women. How quickly life goes by. Just ponder it for a moment. Another year is almost over. Another year is almost gone. I've said to some of you, I mentioned it to some people this week, it seems no time from we were talking about the new millennium, the year 2000, and already that's over 20 years ago. Time is passing so quickly, so swiftly, and that's true of your life, men and women. Your life is passing by so swiftly. The reality is, you're another year nearer eternity. You're another year nearer to death. As you get older, as the years pass, that's a reminder that your life will soon be over. That's the clear message as the days and weeks and months and years of our life goes past. That's the solemn message, men and women. Your life will soon be over. Very soon, maybe sooner than you realize, you will move from time out into God's great eternity. I want you to consider eternity tonight. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, the American preacher in New England in those revival days, one of the great statements that he was known for was, Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. The idea of that was, never let me lose sight of eternity. Never let me, Lord, lose sight of things eternal. And I want to urge that upon you tonight, men and women. And the question is, are you ready? Ready for eternity? Remember the question, eternity where? Well, where will you be in eternity? The hymn writer said, passing onward, quickly passing. We're emphasizing how quickly our lives are passing by. Well, quickly passing. But I ask thee, whither bound? Where are you going? What will your destination be in eternity? So what time of the year? Think of the world. What time is it as far as this world is concerned, men and women? Can I stress to you tonight that this world of ours will not be here forever? I want to sound that warning. There are people that live, we see them every day, as if they were going to be here forever, let alone this world in which we're found. The scriptures tell us way back in the book of Genesis, it's while the earth remaineth. So the clear message there is, this earth will not remain forever. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, heaven and earth will pass away. There's the great certainty. As you look around, all you see. Paul said in the book of Hebrews that they're waxing old. He was quoting the psalmist there, and that one day God will fold them up. Isn't that marvelous? Think of the power of God. That this old world of ours is getting old, just like every one of us. And there's a day coming God will just fold it all up. He's going to bring it all to an end. So this world will not be here forever. And the reality, men and women, the sun is already beginning to set on this old world of ours. You think of events that are taking place. Think of Israel returning to the land some 70-odd years ago. Think of the rise of evil, the days of Lot coming upon the earth. Think of the United States of Europe emerging before our very eyes. All of those sort of events, they tell us, they teach us that his second coming, we're thinking at this Christmas time of his first coming, the first advent, but his second coming is drawing near. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus himself said? When you see all these things begin to come to pass, that you're to look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. His coming will be drawing nigh. The hymn writer said, the signs of the times tell me Jesus will come, and he will come very soon for his own. Can I ask you tonight, men and women, are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of Christ? His great warning when he was here on earth was, be ye also ready. Are you ready for Christ's coming? Are you saved? Are you living your life earnestly, consecrated to Christ in his service? You know, there's two things you need to be ready for. Jesus coming or Jesus calling. If he comes and calls us from this scene of time, or if he takes us away through death. So which, I want to ask you, men and women, is that true of you? Are you ready? Should Jesus come or call? The final thing I'll mention to you tonight, what time is it in life? We've thought of what time is it in the day, what time in the year, what time is it as far as this world is concerned? Well, what of life? What time is it in life for you? You remember old Isaac? He said, I know not the day of my death. And the reality is we all have that same dilemma. Regardless of your age tonight, regardless of what stage of life you're at, and there's people here this evening of all ages, we're glad to see each one. But the reality, men and women, for every one of us is, you don't know the day that you'll die. You don't know when your life will be over. You've absolutely no idea tonight how near the end of life you are. And that's true of every one of us. So just ask yourself tonight this question. What time is it in my life? Just ponder that very carefully and solemnly before the Lord. Can I tell you, especially if you're out of Christ tonight, if you're unsaved in the meeting, as you ask, what time is it in my life? Well, this text gives you the answer. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord for salvation. It's time to be saved. Time to call upon the name of the Lord, as Paul said in the book of Romans. And we want to urge you, men and women, to do that without any further delay. Don't let this year end. Don't let another year close until you know that you're right with God and until you know that it's well with your soul. The hymn we're going to finish with in a moment or two, it's well known to us. I have quite a number of books on the history behind hymns, tells the story of how they were written. I cannot find the story to the hymn that we're going to sing at the close. Life at best is very brief. It's an anonymous hymn. There's a number of those in our book and in all hymn books. In other words, it's not known who wrote it. It's not known who the author was, not known the circumstances in which it was penned. If you ever come across that story, I'd be very interested to see it. Just to say that in the original version of the hymn, there's a fourth verse. There's just three in our book. And the additional verse, it's very appropriate in the light of what we've been saying tonight and the urgency there is for you to get saved and to get right with God. Let me just quote it to you. Time is gliding swiftly by. Death and judgment both draw nigh. To the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you, count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your Christless soul be lost, be in time. I want to impress that upon you, minimum. You need to be in time, as the chorus says, while the voice of Jesus is calling, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just too late. So be in time. What time is it, men and women? What time is it for you tonight? As we draw near the end of another year, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time for you to be saved. Time for you to get right with God. Just the first verse in the chorus of that hymn as we finish tonight. 230, life at best, is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. 230, the first verse in the chorus, we'll stand to sing and then just remain standing for the benediction, please. Thank you, Father, for service tonight, for help that has been given, your blessing that has been known, your presence that has been felt. We ask you to speak to hearts in this meeting tonight. We pray, Father, that you'll give grace. We pray that you'll work on by your Spirit. We pray that there'll be those even this very evening that will flee to Jesus Christ for refuge and for mercy. Be with us, Father, as we go from thy house this evening. We commit ourselves into your hands. Abide with us. Grant us, Father, more of your blessing over this holiday period and the days that lie ahead. And Lord, later this week in your will, as we enter into a new year, we ask that you'll go with us. We plead that you'll lead us, guide us every step of the way. We pray that your blessing will rest clearly and fully upon all that we seek to do in your name. And we pray, Father, it will please thee to lead us into great days of blessing in this church and into great days of blessing in this land. We ask thee now to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease and until at our Father's loved abode our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.